It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to the weekly outdoor show we've been doing here on KETR for now 7.5 years every week. You know, we do try to cover the gamut in topics. One week we'll be talking about catching stripers, and the next week we'll be talking about hunting deer or turkey or whatever the season may be. But this week, I have a special guest, Mr. George Barnett. Now, many of you, the name you'll probably recognize. If you don't, you'll recognize George's images. He's a world-class outdoor photographer, and he's had calendars on the market, for, I guess, the last couple of decades. I had the privilege of spending an afternoon earlier this week with George and on his ranch filming whitetail deer. And, you know, as an outdoor writer for about 28 years, I've taken thousands of pictures to accompany my articles, my newspaper and magazine articles, but I'm not a photographer. I've just learned how to frame pictures and depend on automatic settings, to be honest with you. But George is a world-class wildlife photographer, and he knows some stuff, and I want him to share some things with you today. George, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
I want to tell you how much I appreciate you spending some time with me and letting me work with you or alongside you and take some pictures with my camera. You know, it was a learning curve, and I really appreciate it. But, you know, images of fish and game for the average person, George, it's really, you know, it's a keepsake, a memory of an outing, of a fishing trip or, you know, a hunt, the harvest they made. There's some things that people can do, just not photographers necessarily, or people that have to depend on images for, you know, like we do, both of us in a different sense. But, you know, just the average person, there's some things, for instance, like taking pictures of deer. There's some good ways and some bad ways to do it, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, it's like hunting, and in a way it is. It's more like bow hunting than anything else. The biggest mistake people make is getting up in a tree. That's extremely hard to make a deer look good when you're up above him. So I work off the ground, you know, working off, basically down on my knees, getting as low as possible. It always gives a good perspective of the animal, makes him look big, makes him look majestic. And that's something that I've done my entire career.
A low camera angle. Yeah. And you know, for just taking pictures of a deer that someone harvests, you know.
Yeah, get down and, you know, if they're sitting there with the deer with the head up, lay down on the ground to take the picture.
Exactly.
And it'll always make that animal look a whole lot bigger.
And just better. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that I learned early on doing what I do, you know, and get down and I mean, with that camera lens as low to the ground as you can get it.
Yeah.
And not pick up grass, make sure and pull the grass out in front, you know, weeds and stuff like that. That right there will really improve it. And George, how about framing that, showing off the antlers? Many times people will have their body right behind the antlers, won't they, which is kind of takes away from some of the, you know, the size of the real definition of the antlers.
Yeah, you want to stay away from the antlers really as far as possible. A lot of people, you know, they let the deer kind of stiffen up a little bit so they're easier to handle and kind of bend them into shape. And then, you know, what I have people do, I used to shoot a lot of cover images of guys that have shot big bucks. And we would just have them put one hand on the antler and just kind of hold it, you know, at the bottom rather than grabbing their hand around it. And then just, you know, posing to the side of the antlers. Any person, let's say you shoot a buck that's 20 inches wide. If you're directly behind the deer, well, measure across your shoulders. Your shoulder's going to be wider than that. And so you're going to look big and wide, and the deer's not going to look as wide as he is. But if you move over to the side, maybe get a little angle toward the camera and have the deer head on, and then hold that head up with one hand, that deer will always look better.
Exactly.
And bigger.
You bet. And the same with fish. I mean, I've been with folks that just, well, hold him up, let's get a picture, you know, and they cover, you know, take a 15-pound striper and put your hands around him. I mean, you're going to lose a lot of what you're trying to show off. So with fish even, you know, I always like to point the nose of the fish a little bit toward the camera. Hold him out. It's okay to hold him out there where they can see him. Granted, it will make him look a little bigger, but that's part of the game. And little things like that. Now, it's one thing to photograph harvested game or fish that you've shot or caught. But what you do, and you've been all over, I mean, you've photographed all kind of wildlife in your career, George. It's much more challenging. I mean, it's obviously, for obvious reasons, it's much, much more challenging to, well, like what we were doing earlier this week. I mean, you just have to wait and be patient for the deer in our situation to get where you want them. But there's some things that you did, like when we set up to do the shoot, to take pictures. You made sure that the sun was going to be, there wasn't a whole lot of sun, but you made sure it was going to be on the subject and on our backs, didn't you? You know, when
I always pre-scout an area. Even if I'm going somewhere new, I'll get Google Earth out on my computer, and I'll look at the areas that I know I'm going to be in, regardless of what I'm photographing, whether it be elk or grizzly bears or whatever. And then I always try and keep that sun behind me, you know, on the south side. So I'm always looking to the north side of an area for the good spots, the tree lines. You know, I like to have the deer pulled out away from the trees as far out as I can get them. Some animals are a little bit more, it's kind of hard to get a grizzly bear to do that. They can get a little cantankerous. You got to kind of stay back away from there. But you can still scout your areas, know where your sun is going to be. You know, the sun directly behind you is good, but even maybe 30 degrees over to the left or 30 degrees over to the right will give you some highlights and maybe some dark areas. You know, as long as it's not a black bear or something like that, that works pretty well also. But it's just important to pay attention to the sun behind you and then the background in front of you and of course, behind the animal. And you want to work toward a blurry background. If you are setting your camera up, you always want the camera at the lowest f-stop. You can, you know, get your shutter speed up high, f-stop down low. Focus on the eyes of the animal always. If the eyes are in focus and you miss something else in the deer, let's say your rear end is out of focus a little bit, well, nobody's looking at that. They're looking on a deer, they're looking at the eyes and the antlers. And so that's where you want to focus. And then let that background just blur out. Let it be like watercolors. And then you'll end up with a great-looking picture of whatever animal you're photographing.
You bet. And, you know, moving shots, the shot of, like, we had some images of the whitetail in motion, you know. That really adds a lot to it, too, I think. I mean, it's beautiful to see a majestic, big-antlered buck standing still, but, yeah, when they're moving sometimes, of course, every shot is not going to be perfect, and that's something that I've really learned with you this week, and something that I'm going to be putting to use more is taking multiple shots. Now, I'm so accustomed to, okay, let's hold this deer up and get our hands down on the base of his antlers and turn his head just right. Snap, take that one shot, and then I'll take another shot. Well, on when you're actually targeting wildlife, walking, living, breathing animals, I noticed you were shooting the daylights. You know, you were bam, 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 taking a bunch of pictures, you know. So that's something. When we got through, folks, George said, well, you only took 50-something pictures, and I think you took 200 or something, you know.
Yeah.
But that's something that but I'm not a wild – well, I, you know, an aspiring wildlife photographer. I've taken some lucky shots through the years that turned out really good, but – it was a lot of just luck involved with mine, but taking more shots if you're shooting wildlife is, I think, is real important.
Yeah, the thing you have to remember there is that, you know, you're working with a live creature, and they're blinking. A lot of times they're, you know, if you're trying to pull them out in the field, they're eating, and that mouth is moving, and the blinking can really kind of take you by surprise because you don't know they did it. Matter of fact, we looked at a couple of pictures, and the first one I opened up in the first sequence I shot, the first two shots, the deer had his eyes closed.
Yep.
And then as we progressed through and looked at shot number 3, 4, 5, we got better shots. And sometimes they'll jerk their head a little bit, and you'll get some blur, especially up on the ends of the antlers as they're moving. So you want to just kind of like pad your chances by shooting 4 or 5 images on any scene that you get. And you can always throw out the bad ones. And I may shoot a lot of images, but I throw a lot of bad images out just like anyone else because the animals are doing things that you can't control. You know, with people, you can say smile or say cheese. Or everybody be still. Animals aren't prone to paying too much attention to that. They turn tail and run if you start doing those types of things.
Right.
So when they, you know, another little secret in there is don't start shooting until the animal gives you your good pose. A lot of times a animal will come out and somebody will start shooting at them the minute they come out of the woods. And they hear a clicking sound, and they turn around and run off. Whereas if you let them come out and get comfortable and let them get into that position that you want for the picture, and then I usually, especially if it's a jumpy one, I'll wait for him to put his head down, and then I'll start running that motor drive, and then they'll throw the head up, and there's my shot, and then I'll run 5 or 6 more images of that particular pose, or I'll shoot until he runs off. And that's basically how we get our cover shots.
You bet.
We get a really good, we get an attentive animal because they're hearing something. They don't know you're there, and they're a little bit surprised, and those are your better shots.
You bet. George, I wish we had about 3 hours. We only have about 30 more seconds. The book, your coffee table book, Whitetail Images Up Close and Personal, and then your calendar. I got a peek at next year's calendar. Awesome calendar. Give your website real quick, and folks, we'll post it here at KETR also where you can go and find this. What is the website folks could go to?
You can go to www.georgebarnettphoto.com, and it's all one word. And there's links there to the calendar, to the books, to our print series that we do. I do a little flint knapping and make some real nice knives. They're on there as well. And there's a gallery there where you can look at pictures and enjoy that aspect of it also.
Well, it's an awesome website. George, thank you very much for being with us.
I enjoyed it and enjoyed yesterday as well.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.